was known in the ancient world. It would be today if we had a feast of the exaltation of the electric chair, or of the bombs that came from the Enola Gay to destroy two cities in Japan, or among the early apostles if we had a feast of the sword that chopped off St. Paul's head, or of the knife that flayed St. Bartholomew alive. For us to celebrate something that led to the death of someone we love seems so absurd. That's why St. Paul would say to the first Christians that the cross is a scandal to the Jews and utter foolishness to the Gentiles. Scandal to the Jews. They were awaiting a Messiah who would pretend like he was Hulk Hogan, knock the heads of all the Roman soldiers, boot them from Palestine, and then ride on to triumph in something that would make David's exploits look small. For them to have the Messiah murdered by that occupying force in the most ignominious way possible was something that they possibly couldn't comprehend. Foolishness for the Gentiles. The Gentiles, when they talked about wisdom, the Greeks, thought that, you know, the greatest wisdom was to learn how to live well. And you were utterly foolish if you didn't even know how to preserve your life. If you were so stupid that you'd walk right into a trap set by the conspiratorial Sadducees and Pharisees to be publicly executed in the most painful way possible. Didn't make any sense to the Greeks either. And yet, St. Paul said, even though it's a scandal to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks, to us Christians, it is the power and the wisdom of God. The power of God's love triumphing over everything, and the wisdom of how to live and to die so as to live forever. That's what we mark today. Because the cross is not so much a sign of pain, but of the love that made even that much pain bearable. We heard in the gospel reading today, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that whoever believed in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. And that's the love we celebrate when we look at the cross. The love that we heard about in the second reading, that Jesus humbled himself so much to take on our nature, become, in a sense, our slave, obedient even to death, and not just any death, but death on the cross. That's how exalted was his love. In the first reading in the Gospel, we had an interplay between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the book of Numbers, we see that after the Jews in the desert were unfaithful, God allowed seraph serpents to come around and bite them with poisonous venom such that they were all dying because of their sins. But he told Moses, mount one of these serpents made out of bronze on a pole, and anyone who looks at it will be cured. If they look at what was poisoning them to death, it would then be that they would be saved. If we don't keep that in counterpoint to the gospel, we might think that that sounds totally arbitrary in the Old Testament. But God had Moses do that because he knew what would be coming 1,300 years later on Calvary. But Jesus wasn't what was killing us. How does Jesus link to this seraph serpent mounted on a pole? St. Paul gives us the key to understand it. He said about Jesus, he who knew no sin became sin in order to free us from our sins. So as we behold Christ murdered, nailed to the tree of the cross, we're supposed to behold that he took on all our sins. And as we see what our sins caused, it should bring us to tears, it should bring us to repentance, and thereby, by God's loving grace, bring us to salvation. That's what happens when Christ is mounted. He loved us so much that he became sin, so that looking upon him who knew no sin as sin itself, worst of the publicly executed criminals, we might come through our repentance to salvation. That's how exalted was his love. This is the central Christian message. St. Paul once went to Athens. There were bright people in Athens, and he went to the place where all the bright people would converse, the Areopagus. And he had seen a statue of an unknown god. And he came on up and he tried to proclaim to them who that unknown god was, and especially the power of his resurrection. It was his most eloquent address that we have retained in the Acts of the Apostles or in any of his letters. And at the end of that sermon, almost nobody believed. The Greeks kind of went like this with their shoulders and said, "We'll hear you about this another time." There were only three out of a vast crowd who were interested in more information. Paul left Athens and he went south on a boat toward Corinth. While he was on that boat, he made a resolution that from that point forward, he was going to know and preach nothing but Christ crucified, which is the power of God. And it was from that point forward that his preaching became truly efficacious, where people started coming to the faith. Before, perhaps he was a little embarrassed by the cross because the Jews thought it was a scandal and the Greeks there in the Areopagus thought it was idiocy. But afterward, he didn't hold anything back, and that's when he started making converts galore. That was the power of the cross when it was fully preached. And so he would write in his letter to the Galatians, from this point forward, I won't glory, I won't boast, I won't be proud of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified to me and I to the world. And he would look at the cross as the pattern of the life that Christ was calling him to lead, so that he might learn how to love like this, and that Christ was calling each of us to live so that we might learn to love like this. And his configuration with Christ on the cross became so great through all that he suffered, 5 times being beaten by lashes, 39 times, shipwrecked 3 times, stoned and left for dead and dragged outside the city, jailed, imprisoned for years to these walls. He had suffered so much that he was able to say, I bear the marks of the Lord within me, and say, it's no longer even I who live, because I have been crucified to Christ. It's no longer even I who live, but the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That was his great discovery. First, the cross was something from which he would run away, and then it became something toward which he would run and help bring the entire people to embrace. To live with Christ crucified is the Christian life. And if we're ever going to experience Christ's risen life, we first have to die to ourselves. Like St. Paul, we need to be crucified to the world and have the world crucified to us, so that we begin to really treasure Christ and what he gives us by a path that the world would never discover on its own if Christ didn't love us this much. This is the essence of the message of St. Thérèse Lisieux. St. Thérèse, when she was young, tried to discover what her vocation was. She looked at St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, and she saw, it's chapter 12, excuse me, and she saw various descriptions of various things to which the Lord was calling people. And she didn't find herself in any of those descriptions. But then when she got to the 13th chapter, as St. Paul started to talk about, even if we give our body over to the torturers but don't have love, we gain nothing. Even if we have the faith to move mountains but don't have love, we are nothing. She discovered what her vocation was. Dans le cœur de l'église, je serai l'amour. In the heart of the church, my mother, I will be love. And the love we're talking about is not just warm, fuzzy, sentimental feelings. The love she discovered, that she recognized was her calling by God, was this type of love we find in Christ on the cross. So Saint Thérèse was not afraid to suffer. And as she taught others her simple way of spiritual childhood, she helped us to turn to God with that same loving trust. Her poetry shows just how central the cross was in her spirituality. Spirituality for which John Paul II made her a doctor of the church, because we're all supposed to learn from her. I'm going to share with you four of her thoughts on this life of the cross, so that we one day can be exalted with her at Christ's right side. She said, to live of love, it's not to fix one's tent on Tabor's height and there with thee to remain. We're not supposed to live a life at the top of Mount Tabor at the Transfiguration. Lord, this is awesome. Let us build three booths and keep the experience going. It's not Tabor. She goes on. It's to climb Calvary with strength nigh spent and count thy heavy cross our truest gain. In heaven my life a joy shall be. The heavy cross shall then be gone forever. Here upon earth in suffering with thee, love, let me stay. She wanted to build her booth together with Christ on the cross, to be a bride of Christ on the cross. That's where in this world we're supposed to remain. She went on about her desire for the cross, her desire to enter into Christ's love on that cross so that she could live in it and share it. She said, I long for suffering in the cross. With strong desire my heart doth crave. 1,000 deaths were gained, not lost, if but one soul I helped to save. Remember that opening prayer we had today? I think it's the most beautiful hymn ever written in English, period. Were the whole realm of nature mine, 'twas a present far too small. For love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. In this mosaic over here, as Saint Thérèse was a novice in the Carmel, she recognized that she was called evermore to this love. If you can read French, you can see what it says. To love is to give all. And it's to give oneself. She wanted to give all, to give herself to the Lord who had given all of himself to her. That's her school. The third thought continues this desire. Remember thou that amorous complaint escaping from thy lips on Calvary's tree. I thirst. Oh, how my heart like thine doth faint. Yes, yes, I share thy burning thirst with thee. The more my heart burns bright with thy great heart's chaste fires, the more I thirst for soul to quench thy heart's desires, that with such love always I burn by night, by day. She wanted to burn with the thirst of Christ for souls, to burn with that love for others. She had entered the Carmel in order to pray for the salvation of sinners, to thirst for souls, and to pray especially for priests. And not just good priests. When she went on the one pilgrimage of her life, which was to Rome, was the first time where she saw priests, not just dressed in chasubles celebrating Mass, not just behind the screen of a confessional. She was eating with priests because she was the youngest pilgrim Everybody basically wanted to enjoy her company. And as she was listening to this priest's conversation, she recognized that their conversation wasn't always edifying. So the reason why she was praying for priests was so that they could become who they really are by ordination. She was praying also for their own salvation. She shared Christ's thirst to save sinners from their sins. And how would she enter into this life of the cross on a daily basis? She told us in a fourth poem. She talked about scattering flowers before the cross. We'll talk about what those flowers are from La Petite Fleur, the little flower. Remember thou, O Jesus, O my love, each eve I come to fling before thy sacred cross sweet flowers of all the year. By these plucked petals bright, my hands how gladly bring, I long to dry thy every tear, to scatter flowers. That means each sacrifice, my lightest sighs and pains, my heaviest, saddest hours, my hopes, my joys, my prayers, I'll not count the price. Behold my flowers. That are flowers for all the actions of every day. Even her heartbeats, even the slightest pains. And at the end of her life, she suffered for over a year with the most brutal tuberculosis that the doctor treating her had ever seen. It wasn't just physical pains. The Lord allowed her to enter into a dark night of the soul at the end. So she was wondering if God was really there. Even at the end, she trusted without feeling anything. She suffered it all, but these were all parts of her flower. When she was in the Carmel, there was an old cantankerous sister whom nobody could stand. And Thérèse went over to make her feel loved, to treat her as if she was her favorite person in the entire world. And this old sister eventually thought that Thérèse was her fan. But those were the little flowers she was constantly scattering before the cross. What are the flowers you bring today? I know the flowers I bring are people who are late coming back from the bathroom. We've got a bunch of flowers that we all bring to unite with the Lord. She goes on. With deep untold delight, thy beauty fills my soul. Would I might light this love in hearts of all who live. She wants to light your heart with that same desire to give all. For this, my fairest flowers, all things in my control, how fondly, gladly I would give. To scatter flowers, behold my chosen sword, for saving sinners' souls and filling heaven's bowers. The victory is mine. Yes, I disarm thee, Lord, with these my flowers. That are a real weapon to bring about God's kingdom, were to unite herself in little things to the Lord's cross, so that she would become ever more the Lord. We sang, or we will sing at the end of this Mass today, lift high the cross, the love of God proclaim, because when you lift high the cross, again, we're exalting His love until the whole world proclaim His holy name. In the Roman basilicas, they put over the front door where there's almost always a cross, the expression like we see at St. Paul's Basilica, Ave O Crux Spes Unica. Hail, O cross, our only hope. And that's true in two senses. Without all that Christ won for us on the cross, we would be eternal goners. But also, unless we heed Christ's words to pick up our cross daily and follow Him along the way of the cross, we're still goners. That's the way St. Thérèse teaches us to walk. In the greatest place, she learned that lesson of how to pick up her cross and unite herself to Christ on the cross is here at Mass. She had a double name in religious life, summarizing her identity. Sainte Thérèse de l'Enfant Jésus et de la Sainte Face. Saint Thérèse of the Child Jesus and of the Holy Face. It unites both Jesus' incarnation. He took on the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men in Bethlehem. But also it unites his passion of the holy disfigured face, beaten, spat upon, and covered with blood. Yet at the same time, the fairest man who ever lived. She united that as a double devotion, and she discovered both here at Mass, where the same Jesus was placed in the manger of Bethlehem, and the same Jesus who looks on us with love from the cross is given to us. And it's here that we become transformed into Jesus. We enter into his own loving trust of the Father, even on the cross. And we enter into his passion for others. She wrote a poem about her name and how she's meant to be united with the love of the Lord. We'll finish with this. My only wealth, Lord, is thy face. I ask nothing else than this from thee, to hide in the secret of that face, so that the more I shall resemble thee. Oh, leave me some impress faint of thy sweet, humble, patient face, and soon I shall become a saint and draw men to thy saving grace. She knew that she was on earth for no other reason than to become a saint. And it was by becoming a saint that she would draw others to the Lord. She recognized that she wouldn't become a saint without the cross. And so that's where she learned this lesson. Saint Thérèse taught all of us, you can't become half a saint. You're either all a saint, or you're no saint at all. If we wish to get to heaven, we need to enter into the school of the cross, which is the school of God's love outpoured, God's wisdom and power. We need to glory in this cross so that becoming more and more like Christ, whom we receive here, we might be crucified to the world and the world to us, so that the life we live in the flesh for the rest of our life, we will live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us this much and who gives us his flesh and blood right now, so that we might become his glorious transfigured face, shining in the midst of the world for the world's salvation. O Saint Thérèse of the Child Jesus and the Holy Face, pray for us.